for love with your skirt hacked high. Prepare for love with what's true inside. Prepare for love.
So we are here today to talk with Noah Zachron. By the way, you can find out more about him at noahsong.com, N-O-A-H-song.com. Maybe going to be playing at the Hughes Room on November 11th as well, and he might have a few things to say about that. But we're here. I want to go right in. Declare your love. Who are we? What? Who declare your love?
Declare your
beautiful, love. Beautiful song.
Thanks.
And who are we declaring our love to?
Doesn't matter. Just do it.
Just to stay.
Like, read the t-shirt, man.
Read the t-shirt. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need.
Yeah. Yes.
And why is Yoda on there?
Well, because he says everything backwards. Love is all you need.
I see. Eating food of this kind.
Yeah. Love is need you all. Is actually backwards. So it's just a statement.
Statement to
everyone.
Us, to
everyone.
Did you have anyone in mind, Noah, when you wrote the tune?
I don't believe I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So more of a global kind of
anthemic folk.
I'd say it's a pretty nice place to start.
All right.
Love is all you need.
Love is need you all.
Yeah. What are you going to play for us now?
I'm going to play a tune that fits with my state of alertness.
What, okay.
Called Can't Wake Up.
Can't Wake Up. Nice.
Disappointment, nothing in my arms but memory. Outside the clocks and sun is sounding. My caffeine and I can't wake up. Can't shake the haze. I can't wake up. Go beyond this stunted birth. I can't wake up. Now it's probably true the stems are blooming. It's probably true that beauty walks the streets. But, something turned my sight to sour. My eyes are thin and I look at everyone like an enemy and I can't wake up. Shake the haze of murder. I can't wake up. Go beyond this stunted birth. All my days preserved in amber. There's nothing left for me to hide. I spoke to you and I just can't be bothered to remember. Now I cast the dice in the book of rhymes to see what's buried alive. And I can't wake up. Can't shake the haze of murk. I can't wake up. Go beyond this. Thank you. So hold your pleasant salutations. Don't try to get me on the phone. If you want to join this dark celebration, leave your confetti and your philosophy and the ice cream melting on your bones. I can't wake up, can't shake haze and murk. I can't wake up, go beyond this stunted breath. I can't wake up, I can't get myself to work.
Thank you. Noah, what does confetti, philosophy, and ice cream have to do with one another?
You can't figure it out for yourself.
I think I've been
to
a wedding like
confetti
that.
Confetti and philosophy and the ice cream melting on your bones.
Ooh. I feel like we're about to step into a little bit of a lecture.
Not at all. It's all metaphorical.
No, I mean lecture in the best sense of the word, by the way.
Confetti, I guess everyone uses confetti when there's celebrations.
Yeah, sure. Ice cream, maybe?
Ice cream melting on your bones is more a metaphor for flesh, the mortality of human beings. Beauty disappears and turns into muck.
So, I mean this really sincerely, does every word for you count when you write? Like, do you sometimes just land, ice cream and whatever rhymes, so therefore it goes
The answer would be in the affirmative, sir.
Okay.
I'm very meticulous about my use of the English language.
Were you a poet before you became a songwriter?
I was a songwriter first.
Okay.
And I'm from Montreal originally, and then I guess everybody who lives in Montreal at some point has to be a poet.
Oh, is that right? I lived in Montreal for 2 years as a kid.
Yeah, but he didn't live long enough.
Oh, okay.
My friend Bill was very, very good friends with Leonard Cohen, and they were at a cafe called the Café des Poètes on either St. Lawrence or Park Avenue, and this young woman came over and asked them what they'd like, and my friend Bill, with a twinkle in his eye, he's Irish.
Yes.
He says, you know, my friend here's a poet, pointing to Leonard.
Right.
And she said, yeah, we're all poets. What do you want?
Yeah.
So that's nice. That's quintessential Montreal poem. When I was around 17, 18 years old, for some reason I thought writing poetry would make me immune to the pain of being a young man.
And did it help?
It didn't help. Well, I guess it helped in allowing me to do something constructive with it. It didn't alleviate the pain all. It didn't remove the pain.
Poetry's for others, but it's also an expression of, as you said, your own pain or your own space, your worldview, where you were at the time.
Yeah. I'm not sure if to be honest, I've thought about it a lot. I don't know why I started doing it, but I did. And while I was living in Montreal, I was quite serious about it and did a lot of work, published a lot of poems, hung out with the poets. And then when I moved to Toronto, I gave it up within a couple of months. There was something very unpoetic about my life here. But I never stopped writing songs, and I never stopped performing as a musician. So being a poet was a second thing that I did. I did a lot of readings in Montreal, and I came here a few times.
And they're so intimately connected, really, aren't they?
There's aspects that are
similar. Have to be a great poet to write a great song?
No, I don't think so. I approach both of them with a similar respect and love for the huge vocabulary that English offers. I have phrases in other languages, but I always played music. I never stopped, and I'm still doing both.
But. So which comes first, music or lyrics? Like which? I guess the quintessential question.
It's a question, and so there's no real rule. But I say generally that the songs that I feel most successful are ones that begin with some musical fragment.
Okay.
So like that one, probably I was just at home going like, I was just doing that.
Mm. It's a great riff, and I loved how you turned it around at the very end of the song. I love that.
So I was probably just sitting around doing that, and then suggests a mood, and then lyrics. I write all the time, so I have notebooks filled with lyrics and poems. Most of the songs
like I might write a lyric and then quickly go to the guitar and start working on the music, and that will suggest where it should go.
How many unfinished songs do you have?
I've as I like to tell people, if you put me on a desert island today with all my notebooks and computer files and manuscripts that I've printed off, I could live for another 100 years and I'll finish my work.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Do you find that, well, you had mentioned that you sort of lost the vibe for poetry when you came to Toronto, and I guess in some ways I can understand that. Toronto's not a very, it's a very business-oriented, maybe not as artistic, but I mean, we have a great musical scene here. But you said you continued with the music. Did it help or hurt being in Toronto with the music part?
I think it helped. That's one of the reasons why I stayed here. I came for personal reasons, and so part of that was impacting on my ability to write poetry or to feel like it was worth doing, because I was just so sad. Like I had a wonderful life in Montreal. It's a smaller town, and
right.
I'd been performing long enough that I knew a lot of people and I was known around town. And then I came here, and it took me 4 or 5 years before I left my house and encountered somebody on the way who I hadn't intended to meet, you know, the first chance meeting of someone. So, because everybody's spread out, everybody's doing their thing. You can't go to their house to ring on, like, people would come to my door in Montreal and say, "We want to hang out." And here was, when I moved here,
you knew there. No one, right?
Well, I knew a few people, but the rules were different.
Really?
You had to make appointments to see your friends.
So you're making a pretty interesting comment about community. It seems to me there was a community in Montreal that kind of maybe was a little more forced here or harder to step into.
Well, it just took a longer time because people are. I think there is more of a focus of getting things accomplished here, which is fine. I mean, it's good. As I remember, like at the end of every night, last call was 3 o'clock in Montreal. And everybody was ready to go home.
Here it was 8:30 at night, wasn't it? I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Or when the Leaf game's over.
Yeah, so everyone's going to go do their work and you know, carry on. But we didn't really do much work when we got home. I didn't do much work when I got home at 4 o'clock. So there was less of a need to show that you're doing something.
The question is, are Torontonians driven by a to-do list? I think it's a great one.
Could very well be true.
Tim, can you tell me a little bit about your YouTube page on the DrewTube page?
The DrewTube page?
Yeah, and how somebody can win a CD today from Noah.
Well, they're just going to let us know, and they can become a new Facebook member, I believe is the general rule, and then we get them a CD.
The question is, how do I win a CD?
Well, you win by being here, and you win by being
ingratiating to me.
That's right.
And meeting Noah himself in person.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think the most important question for Noah is that water or Grey Goose in your glass?
That's water.
Oh, okay. Just wondering.
Especially after that.
I'm actually going, after here, I'm going to play with my buddy Jeff at his dad's. A birthday party.
Oh, so,
and the
cool.
There'll be alcohol there.
I bet there will be, and hopefully lots of people. Lots of people.
Yeah, no, it's going to be lot.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's cool.
Is it a private gig or is it a?
Yeah, it's a private thing.
Oh, okay, right.
So, then I guess we won't show up.
That's right. Yeah. Starting at start time.
I don't know whenever I get there.
Nice.
Yeah. I did want to say one thing.
Go.
You touched on community, and I do have a tendency because I'm from Montreal to sometimes appear to have an attitude towards Toronto, and I want to make.
Oh, sure. I noticed it as soon as I walked in the room.
I love the community of musicians that I've acquired. I've been here for 30 years now, and one of the reasons I stayed was because I ended up playing with a lot of folks. Like I love playing acoustic. I love playing guitar with other people. That's really the first thing that I wanted to do. Before I wanted to be a songwriter and performer, I wanted to be a backup guitar player. So I was able to do a lot of work like that, and in the years that I've been here, I've worked with some really great people and great facilities, and I'm so grateful for it.
I took it more as a sort of a comment about sort of the city itself, you know, and that vibe, not so much about the musicians.
Yeah, no, there is that aspect, and it took a while to make sufficient inroads to meet
true.
People, but I go out and it's fantastic.
I've noticed over the last few years, I would say the last 5 to 10 people from out side, foreigners, mm-hmm. people like traveling, you know, Montrealers, you mm-hmm. foreigners, yeah, mm-hmm. Coming into the city, actually have said the opposite. Maybe are things changing? I mean, I'd like to think so.
In Montreal?
No, in Toronto. I spent a fair bit of time, maybe. You know, alongside of the Toronto International Film Festival recently, and I was getting some pretty good feedback from people coming out of town, just saying, yeah, great city, love the people, you know. So that's a good sign.
I hear that sometimes, and I usually follow it up with, well, what specifically are you referring to? And I never, and no one has ever given me a concrete example, so I don't know. But the truth is, I don't really go out that much anymore in Toronto. Like I'm here to do my work, and I play, and I associate with other musicians and work on records, and I travel a bit. So I don't, and I'm, you know, I don't socialize out in bars as like I used to. It's different life.
Why are you doing music? Why are you a poet? Why are you a storyteller? These kind of questions matter to me, and I hope, I think...
Well, we can discuss it when I'm a guest on your podcast.
Oh, nice! Let's get another ad in there, face-to-face live.ca.
I never really... Yeah. Because I've been doing it for so long, it would be... I can give you reasons why I've continued, but even those would be sort of made up. I started... Mm. I was called the musical baby when I was a baby. I sang and, you know, played instruments. When I was 9 years old, I came home from summer camp. There had been a counselor with long blonde hair, kind of doing maybe a Joni Mitchell lookalike contest, and she was playing ukulele. And much to my, I'm quite proud of myself that when I came home, I didn't ask for a ukulele. Somehow I was wise enough to say, can I have a guitar, please? So before I turned 10, I had my first guitar, and I've always played, and we were talking before the show, I used to turn on records and just play guitar with records, I started improvising right away and just learning. So I took some lessons, but mostly what I do, I've watched people, and I've listened a lot, and I've
learned
played
by
a lot.
Doing.
I play all
learned
the time.
By doing.
Yeah. You know, so it's hard for me to say why I do it, because I've always done it, would be really the only answer.
I want to hear another one.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Here's a song that I made up about a guy that I made up. It's called Lester Brown. Thou bowler and a tie, silk and satin guy. Fine Italian shoes, it's Lester Brown. You hear the latest sigh, you know the reason why. Word is up, Lester's back in town. And when he walks by, twirls a stick and winks an eye. The letters blush like springtime on the rose. Steaming apple pie, evening drawing nigh. Won't be long before the sunset hour. Magnolia breezing his catbirds up in the trees. A little sugar with your lemonade. You can curtsy if you please. Hear the cornet melody. Lester's back on the Benson Street Parade. And when he walks past, it happens all so fast. He lights them up like match to gasoline. And the setting sun's outclassed. How that Lester lasts, dust to dawn, he shines on New Orleans. Thank you.
Nice. So is Lester a real guy? Anyone I know? Anyone
you
I might know?
Literalist, aren't you? No, I said I made him up. I there again, like the song might have just started. I was going probably. Just, and I just started saying some words. I hadn't been to New Orleans, and I did go subsequent to writing that song just to fact check if it was Basin Street or Beale Street, because I was confused. Beale Street is in Memphis, and
yeah.
Basin is.
I find it fascinating that you're fact checking about a song about a fictional guy.
Well, it's New Orleans.
you gotta get that part right.
You don't want to appear ignorant.
That's right, exactly. And so you did get to spend some time there.
Yes.
Is that kind of I don't know, is that like a mecca for musicians?
I don't know.
I mean, well, compared to Montreal, if you realize that Montreal is like a really great town here, you know, artistically in Canada,
yeah.
would it compare?
I was just being rough on.
I had my shoes shined, my boots, yeah. my cowboy yeah. boots shined on Bourbon Street, whether I wanted to or not, many, many years ago. It was a fascinating experience.
You know, I've been traveling a lot in the States the past few years. Mm. One of the reasons I'm doing that is because so much of what I listened to when I was growing up, and therefore influenced by, was music that came from there, like the true folk music, Mike Seeger and Doc Watson and Mississippi John Hurt. And it's been a real pleasure being down there, but all my experiences, particularly in the cities that are known for music, have been really remarkable. Mm. There's a lot of local support for it. There's a lot of respect for local musicians and for the music in general. I've been to Nashville a couple of times, and it was so inspiring to see a city where music is deemed important enough and a big enough part of the economy and a worthy enterprise. You know, it was very, very heartening to see.
Do you find that, the challenge, of course, in Canada is we've got like, 35 million people, and the States has 330 million mm-hmm. people. So when you got a city like New Orleans and Nashville, I mean, these places can support their own economies just because of the mass amount of people. Do you find it is that different? Like, because, I mean, Canada's full of wonderful artists and yeah. songwriters and performers, but they all obviously have to go to the States. But are we that bad up here in Canada?
I don't want to say anything negative.
Go for it.
Well, the truth is I really don't know the answer to the question. But my sense of it is that there's more local support. And that's really been my, like, when I moved here, I noticed some of the papers that their coverage of local musicians and shows and record releases was quite spotty at best.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, you go to, I was just recently in Boulder, and the paper, aside from ads for cannabis, is just filled with references to local musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that here, really.
Right.
Which a fellow that I knew was living here, he'd been living here when I met him when I moved here in the late 80s. Great guitar player, but he had no career.
Mm.
And he figured it out at a young enough age that he was able to make the move. He moved to Nashville, and he plays with Emmylou. He's making a living at it, and he's well respected. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of that could have happened for him. May have, but I don't think it could have happened.
But I mean, that's the typical story for Canada. Any kind of artist, yeah. you know, actors, you know, musicians, movie makers. I guess we just don't have enough people to support
I'd like to think that's the only reason. I don't really know.
Yeah,
I mean, we do love our music up here.
But what about having a profession and being a great musician or a great artist or a sculptor? Well, you're an electrician, but you're also a killer songwriter.
You are an electrician.
That's what I am.
Killer songwriter.
Indeed.
That's
right. That's
what his podcast is.
How do you know that?
About.
How do you know that? That's right. Yeah.
It's on your t-shirt.
It's on my t-shirt, yeah. All no, so I don't know, love.
No, so of course that helps. I mean, I had a job before I went full-time music, but that helps the financial aspect of it. But it's not really about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the types of opportunities that are available and the type of... It's the type of opportunities that are available and being at a place where something can happen. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a place where things don't happen, probably nothing's going to happen. You know, I'm happy here now. I'm okay, but I do travel. And I'm, I'm cognizant of the realities of being in Toronto.
No, I'm kind of interested. You know, I don't know why I went here, but
I think so negative.
I think
not being negative. Okay. Not being negative. Reality,
no,
man.
That's Drew's job. do you need an audience? So I just thought of, you know, we used to have a joke years ago, you know, the comic or the magician or the performer, the variety act is, you know, waiting to get his real job or her real job as a waiter, right? Right? Because everybody was just struggling and it was just so hard and you wanted to get that gig at Second City or whatever the heck it was. And I'm wondering...
I hear you do stand-up as well.
No, I don't do stand-up. Okay. No, that's an ugly
rumor. That's
on
the books
rumor.
For me.
I have friends who do that. I have friends who do that.
So your question?
Yeah, well, would you be a musician with or without the audience?
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Yeah, you're a storyteller.
I didn't start performing. I just like playing guitar.
Yeah,
John Fahey was a very early influence for me. Hmm. I was 14, 15. And for those listeners who don't know who he is, he basically took the steel string guitar and decided that it was a serious musical instrument on which one could compose, and he fashioned this style of music called American Primitive. And he would take his guitar, he would tune into different tunings, like wacky tunings, and just play music that was sometimes dissonant and sometimes remarkably beautiful. And so I would do that a lot. I would take my guitar, tune it in some kind of tuning, not really aware of what I was doing, didn't really matter, and just play for an hour. And a friend of mine saw me do this once, and he said, you just want to play guitar, don't you? And I said, yes. And then people started harassing me,
right?
Asking if I play songs or if I, you know. And then once I started writing songs, they said, do you sing them to your friends? And I said, okay, I'll sing it to my friends. And then I sang them, started singing in public. But it was really not. It wasn't my motivating force. Like a lot of guys, you'll read interviews where they found that guitar was a way to meet girls. And
right.
For me, that it was never part of the right. The equation. I just love music, and I still do. And it's remarkable to me that I still do after all these years. I still pick up the guitar every day and play something I never played before. And I think it's so. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. You're gonna share a little bit more of that with us right now, Tim. What kind of teacher are you?
I'm a drama teacher, so that's why I keep messing up.
Well,
the script.
I just wasn't wondering why you were having so much trouble with your mother tongue. It's just yeah.
What?
With his mother's what?
Mother tongue. Now appearing on Blue Pages.
Noah, your latest CD, A Startle of Wings.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Available. Everywhere?
Primarily on the website. When I play live.
Yeah.
I have a new website that was it's less than a year old, and there's a store on there that functions.
That
okay. Yeah, no, it works. It's on iTunes and all the other large.
Do you have the website so you can plug it, bro?
Noahsong.com.
Noahsong.
NOAHSONG. Eight simple letters.
.com. And all you need is a credit card.
A credit card or PayPal?
PayPal account. Nice, yeah. Nice. When you put an album together, I mean, how do you land on the 10, 12 songs that you
14.
14 songs? How do you land?
It different
it's
records.
It's got to be hard, right?
This record was sort of just a chronicle of a very fertile songwriting period in my life. Where I was writing lots of songs
right.
And just going home, recording them at home, and then moving on to the next project. And so at some point I started listening back to the songs.
So have you ever had a gig where somebody says, hey, Noah, can you write a song for this for me? And then they paid you for that song versus just picking up your guitar.
Do you want to do that?
I don't think I have the money for it. Okay. But I just wondered if there's this, like, it's always about inspiration, or do you ever step into it like a pro and say, I'm going to write a song today?
Yeah, and that's a long conversation. I mean, inspiration is probably part of it, and you could sit around and wait for it. It doesn't take much for me to write something.
Great.
It's more about making the effort to complete the work.
Right, got it.
I know you've mentioned that you had a lot of songs and stuff on notebooks and computers.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a song that took you like 12, 13 years to complete? Like you didn't sort of just get rid of it, was always...
Yeah.
Always present.
What was the longest song that you ever wrote in the sense of how long it took?
I think there's a song on a record that I made called Crow Dark Wind that was called Quiet Man.
Okay.
Quiet Man. And the first verse was simple. And then it took years to figure out what the second verse could be.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it worth the wait for you?
It's a good song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Paid off? Because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Things just happen in a moment, and sometimes you got to struggle.
I mean, I like to think I'm often inspired, but I'm also I'm a craftsman. I care about the words, and I care about not using cliches, and not cheating my listeners. I don't let myself get away with stuff.
You've never written a jingle?
No. I would do it. No, of course I would do that, but that would be a different thing. But if I'm writing my own songs, I'm very aware of what the language can do, and I like to express what I'm trying to express.
Favorite artist, favorite song? Is that a crazy question?
A little.
Yeah, some people say, hey, what's your favorite movie of all time? Yeah,
crazy.
I don't have one.
Yeah, it is a little crazy.
I don't have one.
I don't really have one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that I've listened to over the years. I've named a bunch of them, John Fahey and John Martin Martin.
What about
Pierre Bensusson?
Sorry for going maybe more mainstream, but where does Bob Dylan fit into all this?
Bob Dylan, he's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, when Leonard and him met for the first time, Leonard said, I guess I'm going to be the second best songwriter. and Bob looks at him and says, you're the best. You're number one. I'm number zero.
I'm number zero.
All right, let's see another song.
What I want to know is, did Leonard Cohen ever forget what that waitress said to him in the cafe in Montreal?
He may not have known.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's what are we listening to now?
It's my gospel tune.
Got it.
Ready to Fly. When you hear the trumpets blowing, the angels fill the sky. You know the hour is approaching, you're after the sweet by and by. You know the Lord who lives in heaven is waiting for you to fly. Are you ready to fly? Hey, did you drink your time like water? Flowing beneath the tree, and the sun that shone upon you. Hey, did it give the branches leaves, or did you grow bare and rootless? Live under a pale blue sky. Are you ready to fly? Hey, when you hear the trumpets blowing, angels fill the sky. You know the hour's approaching, you're after the sweet by and by. You know the Lord who lives in heaven is waiting for you to fly. Are you ready to fly? Sometimes your prayers go unanswered, and your days go rushing by, and your back is bent and your heart is sore. Hey, there is nothing left to try. You just go a little deeper to reach the one who lives on high. And are you ready to fly? when you hear the trumpets blowing, the angels fill the sky. You know the hour is approaching, you're after the sweet by and by. You know the Lord who lives in heaven is waiting for you to fly. And are you ready to fly? Stones are in my way. His hand will reach to guide me. All I have to say is, Lord, help me. I'm coming now, 'cause you say it's time. Are you ready to fly? Yeah, when you hear the trumpets blowing, the angels fill the sky. You know the hour is approaching, you're after the sweet by and by. You know the Lord lives in heaven, it's waiting for you to fly. And are you ready to fly? You know the Lord who lives in heaven, it's waiting for you to fly. And are you ready to fly?
That is a gorgeous song, Noah. Holy smokes. Seriously, I'm getting goosebumps. It is my new favorite song.
Thank you.
It is fantastic.
I can see it on your arm.
Yeah, I'm not joking. this is radio, but I don't know what. How do goosebumps translate to radio?
You talk about visual.
You talk about it.
We have goosebumps made for radio.
You talk about it. Wow, that's such a great song.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
I don't know. I recorded on a record, a live record that I put out about, what year is it now? 20 years ago. As I was preparing for the show, I was thinking I should probably, because I could find my notebooks.
Right.
And go back and find what was going on at the time. I do not remember. But it's one of the songs that slipped out of my repertoire for a long time. Because I often confuse the second verse and the third verse. It made me uncomfortable. I thought I might forget. So instead of just learning and practicing, I just
shelved it.
Yeah, and so, but recently, just, you know, as get older and dealing with mortality and people that you love and spirituality, and I started putting it in, and the response has been similar to what
It's gorgeous,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so thank you. So I've been
not just the lyrics, but it's there's a. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was more than one guitarist in the room, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's beautiful musically, but it takes you somewhere,
which
is gorgeous.
Yeah. So I will do my research when I'm on your podcast.
I'll face to face live.
You know what that was about?
Check it out.
I also wondered. Like, I don't know what it was that started it, or whether it was a line of words. So I'm going to do some research. To know.
Makes it better. Makes it a better song to me. It's it's gorgeous.
I don't know if we can top that, so we probably should get heading out.
NoahSong.com, right?
Yes.
NoahSong.com to check out his new album, and I would imagine a few others. Yes. A Startle of Wings. Yeah. PayPal, Visa, check it out.
What's this one called?
And yeah.
This is called 10 Tons of Road.
10 Tons of Road. Oh my goodness. Right, bruh. So, drop it like it's hot, as the cool kids say.
The wind blows wild in the dim light of this town. There's a pair of hands I held, a pair of eyes in which I drowned. Where's the paradise I've been shaking in when love made the siren sound? 10 tons of road beneath my wheels, a million miles of skies above. Cannot take me far enough to ever forget, ever forget. Gravel in the heel of my left shoe. They remind me as I travel of each step I took away from you. There's a carving in an old oak tree my sweet edge penknife made. Hey, where are you, my darling? It's cold here, cold in the shade. 10 tons of road beneath my wheels, a million miles of skies above. Can I take me far enough to ever forget, ever forget I love? To wilt, and the crocus, it's just history. See this house I built. I want to know everything, I want to love everyone. When you come to me and my money's gone, I'll buy you drinks with gold of the sun. 10 tons of road beneath my wheels, a million miles of skies above. Can I take me far enough to ever forget? Never forget I